I just want to tell you, after you prayed your first prayer, and this one too, but the first prayer, you said things so beautifully in it that I told my wife, I said, I feel like applauding after that prayer. I just felt like clapping. It was such a good prayer. You worded it so well, and I'm just thankful for that prayer. And then when you were talking about the scriptures, y'all's verse this week, I told my wife, don't forget where that is. I'm going to preach for it when I get back home. That's when I'm going to preach for it. But I said, I ain't going to say anything else. You said so many thoughts in there. I got to tell others. And it won't be plagiarizing you, I hope, because it's from the Holy Spirit. But I'll use some of it. I'll tell you that. And I'll also use that thing where you said, what did he say when we came in? About Baptist Standard Time. I've never heard that before. I loved it. That's right. Our group, they are on it, I'll tell you. At home. Tonight I'm going to bring something that God has shown me that I think everybody needs to see. And by the way, when you got through with that, talking about that verse in just a short time, you did, I told Sharon, well, I had revival. I mean, I just felt, when you was talking about the prodigal son, he still smelled like the pigs. And I've thought about that before, but boy, it just came home to me. How many times I have, the prodigal son, let's face it, guys, it happens in our life over and over and over again. And I have been the prodigal many times. Oh, I didn't go out and stay out there and for 3 years or whatever. I just have a bad day and sin that day and come back to him expecting to get beat over the head. And every time he kills a fatted calf. I tell you what, there's a great, great revival happened in my heart then. I'll see if I can pass it on to you guys with these scriptures. And this won't make sense to you, but it will before it's over with, hopefully. There was a guy back in the 20s, the Chicago White Sox. They end up calling them the Black Sox because they all got caught cheating and betting on the game and losing the game on purpose in a World Series, I think it was. And one of the guys' names was Joe Jackson. And they called him Shoeless Joe Jackson. He was a great ball player. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He was a great ball player, and he even did good during that game. And he said he never was guilty of it, but the ones that they found guilty of it, he was found guilty of it. He was called Shoeless Joe Jackson because one time his shoes were hurting him. They were blisters on his feet, so he just took his shoes off, played with his shoes off, and that name stuck with him, Shoeless Joe Jackson. So it kind of got to be his trademark, and he started taking his shoes off every time. And he came out of the courtroom, and there's a bunch of kids there that he was their hero. There's a little boy about 10 years old. And you might have heard this phrase before, not knowing where it was come from, but we're going to know it tonight. The little boy was standing there, just tears on his eyes, and they found him guilty, and they kicked him out of baseball. You know, he couldn't play anymore and all this kind of stuff. And he came by that kid, and the kid said, "Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so, Joe." And that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to get you to say that before this message is over. I point at you, I want y'all to do it. Say it ain't so. Y'all said, already going, I ain't doing it. I ain't going to do that. That's silly. No, I think we need to practice it. We need to practice it. All right, do I need to run over it? You need to jot this down, any slow learners? Right, here it is. Say it ain't Joe, okay? I'm going to point at you. 1, 2, 3. Say it ain't so, Joe. That's good. That's better than I thought it was going to be. You sure they're Baptist? Okay. And you'll wonder where in the world that's coming from, because we'll get back to it. But right now, we just want to turn to 2 Chronicles. We're going to take a scripture apart, just like you do with that other one. And it's the, right now, it's, you'll see it on the Facebook and the internet and all that stuff. More, if you see that more than you would John 3:16. I'm surprised somebody ain't holding this scripture up at a football game since things got so bad. And so it's 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. You've heard it. Things were bad back then. And God says he's going to shut up the heavens and have no rain. And he could command the locusts to devour the land. And I'll send pestilence among the people. And we kind of got something like that going on with COVID and what all has happened. Everybody is quoting that scripture. You've heard it and you've seen it. And we'll talk about it tonight, but God showed me something with it. And it's really important to know this in your life, how God thinks in his Holy Spirit can just see every little thing in your heart and he's looking. Let's just take the scripture, though. It says right here, and I've seen people write about this already on the Facebook. If my people, now you know this already. Somebody probably already said it. He didn't say those people. He didn't say if those heathens out there, those unbelievers, those atheists, those people who are aborting babies, all those druggers and murderers, all those people, he didn't say that. He said, my people. If my people who are called by my name, that'd be us Christians today. Back then it was they were Israelites. We won't go into that part, but this part we will. You know what? Who are called by my name shall humble themselves. I'll talk about that word humble for a second. You see that after. Humble yourself. Remember the songs? Have you ever heard of it? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. We sing it, you know. But do you ever think about that? What that word means? Humble yourself? What exactly does that mean? What are we supposed to do to humble ourselves? I heard a guy, a preacher preach one time, and he said, he was very, very preachified. And he said, humility is such a fine virtue. When you find out you have it, you don't have it anymore. And I thought, yeah, that's good. And everybody put it down for posterity. But that ain't right. Let me tell you something. I'm humble. You looking at a humble person. You bragging? No, I'm humble. I am lowly. Because I looked it up. I Googled it. I Googled it today. I already knew. But I Googled it again to make sure. And we laughed about what it said. Sharon and I laughed because it says this. A correct assessment of our own unimportance. That's what it is. So make a correct assessment of your own importance in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself. Know who you are, and you aren't. You just aren't much. I'm sorry. Everybody, well, God don't make any junk. And all the, I know all the things they say. We need God. Whew, I'm like Isaiah. Remember Isaiah? See, if you ever get a glimpse of God, you ain't looking too good anymore. Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And you know what the next word? Oh, he saw all these things, and his train filled the temple. You know what the next word out of Isaiah's mouth was? Woe is me, for I am undone. And he's just saying, oh, man. And God, but there's danger in that, looking at yourself too much. Because if you don't want to be, you want to be like him, and you don't want to be like you. Old self is looking grim. The chances that you can change yourself are zero, none, and slim. If you want to get the danger in seeing yourself, and that's good that you do, and take an assessment of your unimportance. I thought that was funny. The danger in that, in Isaiah, was what in the world is he looking at himself for? There is God in all his splendor in front of him. And as we behold him, we're changed into the same image. As we behold us, we just shrink up. So it's good to know who you are, but it's also, and to humble yourself, but it's also good to never take your eyes off of him. What the words in the song say? The psalmist said, not David, another guy. When standing in his presence, I glimpse his wondrous face. Clothed in my rags of righteousness, I feel so out of place. But oh, what vanity that I should concentrate on me. My eyes should be transfixed on him in all his majesty. Sometimes I don't mean to brag or nothing. You know me. I know my unimportance. Sometimes I go back and the songs, I don't write much anymore at all songs, but I'll go back and I'll read lines like that I wrote, and I go, there's just no way I came up with that. It had to be God just talking through me, and it was. I know that. So you can humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humility is a good thing to have, and if you got it, you know it. Ricky, you're a very humble person. I prayed one time. I got through praying when I was a young Christian. Just say so God can see that he sees every little word you say. He can just watch him. The Holy Spirit light within. I got through preaching somewhere when I was a young Christian. I had a lot of response, and there was a lot of people. We gave an invitation. That's back when I was Dave Dashing Young Evangelist going about. And we gave an invitation. A bunch of people came up front, and people were patting me on the back and said, "Oh, man, you're a good one," and stuff like that. You know, you're young. And I went out, and I thought, and it's a good prayer. It was a good prayer. I said, "Lord, just keep me humble. Keep me humble." And it sounded like a good prayer, didn't it? I had to think I was something to pray the prayer. Why would I say, "Keep me humble"? I am humble. God just showed me that. He said, "You are humble. Just stay humble like you are. You don't have to pray, 'Keep me humble,' because we're meek and lowly. We need to humble ourselves." Well, what's that got to do with Shoeless Joe Jackson? We'll get there. We'll get there. Just taking this scripture part, thinking about it, read it. And pray. Just stop right there and pray. Now, this is a real good thing to know right here as we're going down. You know, when it says, when God says, when we pray, do you know that's a little more than texting somebody praying? Putting it on Facebook. I see that over and again. They'll say, "So-and-so sick. We need praying. Do we really pray? I caught myself writing praying, and I didn't pray. I just wrote praying. Just writing praying is not praying. Praying is time. Now, I don't, a lot of times, we talked about this the other day. I don't even know the people they're requesting prayer for. And I'm not feeling this wonderful compassion and burden coming out from me. But I know how it is if I have a loved one that's sick or I have a loved one that's lost. And I try to talk to the Lord as much as I can about it without knowing anything. And I just say, "God, I don't know the situation there. But they want us to pray. And I'm going to pray for him. I don't know him. You know his heart. You know what you're going to do. I don't know. But I lift that person up to you because I said I would pray for him. And I don't want to lie to you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for him." So we need to pray. He wants us to pray. What does he want us to? What do the disciples say? "Lord, teach us to pray." You know, he said, "Pray after this manner." And we know the Lord's Prayer. He didn't say, "Teach us to quote." By the way, I can enter a church before I was in a Methodist church, and every Sunday morning they're going to stand up and quote it. And I just said, "You know, it don't mean much if you're quoting it. You can pray it." And I have prayed the Lord's Prayer, just prayed it. But mainly I like to put it in Mississippi or Indiana. And, you know, God understands our language. He even understands our slang. And you can use it with him. I'm glad because I heard a man the other day in church. He said, "Lord, just pick this church up and set it on fire." I thought to myself, God didn't know our slang. Okay, I don't know. We can pray. He understands Mississippi and he understands Apache. So we pray. Why do we pray? Because he wants us to pray. Well, what's that got to do with, say it ain't so, Joe. We're getting there. And we'll be through when we get there. "And seek my face." This one Sharon didn't want me to say. She said, "Don't do that one." But I got to ask, what does it mean? Seek my face. No man see God and live. How did they seek? Now I know what we would say, that, you know, Jesus is the express image of the Father. If we seek Jesus, we seek in his face. But what was it to them? Seek my face. What were they doing? Seek my face. And faces, not seek my hand. A lot of us seek his hand a lot of times. David was a man who was after God's own heart. He wasn't after his hand. And I think the face is how we recognize and know someone. I think he's saying, "Know who I am. Know me." The reason Jaron didn't want me to do it, because I always say this, you don't like his part, because it's so close. If we seek his face, we know we seek Jesus. He's the express image of the Father, and you come to the Father through the Son, and that's it. Jaron, don't get mad at me. But people need to know this. And everybody don't get mad at me. Don't seek this guy. Seek Jesus. Now, I'm not one of those that just goes crazy over it and a fanatic. And we got pictures that represent Jesus in our home. And it's a good witness and everything else. But a lot of people, when they pray, they see this guy. And I don't know who the artist used. I don't know who it is, but we talk to him a whole lot. And that ain't him, guys. And Sharon always said, yeah, but so many people see that. Well, don't. It's hard to stop. When God showed me that I started preaching, I was so stupid. You said I'd go off on it and talk too much on it, didn't you? Well, you're right. I was so stupid. I was in a Baptist church, and First Baptist Church somewhere, speaking. The youth had a youth thing, so they let me speak on Sunday morning. And it was in Macon, Mississippi. And I got up. I just learned this message, and I hadn't been preaching about 7-8 years. And I got up, and I just stood up like this and said, I don't know this man. And people like died. I felt, they thought, what kind of wolf and sheep clothing we got coming in here? But I've learned to use a little more, you know, tact and say, it's okay. If if you see somebody with a beard and hair, it's all right. I said that one time. I said, and Sharon said, if somebody's got to see something, because we don't see anybody, I don't see anybody anymore. Christ is in me. I see his presence. I don't even think about seeing him, you know. I used to imagine me at his feet and his robe there, and me imagine him there beside me and walking beside me, and that's kind of okay, but he ain't an imagination. He's a real person. He's a real being, and he lives in me, and he lives in you, and he's as close as he can be. So I just talk to him, and I don't even consider. I'm telling you how to seek his face, and I'm telling you how to pray too. When you pray, just talk to him. He's in you. Now, well, what about everything? Well, he fills both heaven and earth too. But the part, and I hate to use that word part, because part is all. But I'm finite, and I got to use these words I've got. And but the part of him that I speak to him is right here. And I don't like to use that word part, because I just talk to him. It's God through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is in me. So don't get all scared. I used to preach that and go and say, boy, I hope I'm right, God, because I had them so close together. Now I don't see that. And Sharon said, if they're going to see, the only place really, you know, the Bible just said, I did go off on it, didn't it? And I didn't mean to do that. But I got to finish, because I see some people looking like, well, I don't know. And so let me finish. She said, if you're going to see somebody, the only place it really describes him, we know he was, this is a pretty nice looking guy, by the way. And the Bible says no beauty in him that we should desire. We don't know how tall he was, how short he is. We don't even know. I say he had long hair. I don't know if he did. Nazarenes had long hair, Nazarite. But I don't know that. He might have had a crew cut. I don't know that. We don't know. We know he had a beard because they plucked it out. We know that. And if you want to see somebody, which I don't do that either, see that? See Jesus in Revelations when his head and his hair was as white as snow and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And you read it. But I don't see that. I just see the still small voice that is within me, the quiet voice that's there always. I used to do this. I tell people, so now I want you to close your eyes a minute. I'm going to tell you about a guy. And I tell him, I'm going to nothing tell you about anything about this guy except he has a beard. He has a beard. He's from Monroe, Louisiana, friend of mine. And his name's Sid Farmer. He knows I use him as an illustration sometimes. Now, I'm telling you about Sid, and I want you to close your eyes and see if you can. I want you to see Sid's face. Just see his face. Some of y'all didn't even try. And some of you did. And you that did wasn't smart as them that didn't. Because I don't care who you saw in your mind. It ain't Sid. I know Sid. Watch. Yeah, that's him. I mean, it's all Sid. Just as bald. Did not have a hair on his head. Just has a beard. He's always been that way as long as I've known him. But I could tell them then, I'd say, now close your eyes and picture Jesus in your mind. And people would do that. And I'd say, how'd you do that? How many saw this guy? We don't know how he looked. One lady said, well, Joe, that disturbed her. I call her Miss Bird because that's her name. And she's passed on to be with the Lord. So I can say this, and I'm not speaking ill of her. She's a great saint. She just said, spoke right out in church. Well, Joe, if he don't look like we think he looks, how are we going to know him? And I said, God just gave an answer to me so quick. I said, what do you mean, how are you going to know him? You're supposed to already know him. You ain't never seen him, but you know him. When you pray, just pray. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord and seek his face. And if you seek his face, you're going to find his face all in here. You're going to know who he is by his word. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And he is the express image of God. I wrote a song about it called Children of the Wall, but I wouldn't sing it. It was kind of mean. And like I said, I'm not a fanatic about it. When you seek his face, just seek him with all your heart. That's all we do. He wants us to pray and seek his face. He wants us to humble ourselves, realize our humility. No, don't say, well, keep me humble. Say, I'm humble, God. I know that. And I'm talking to you, and I am seeking who you are. I want to know who you are. I want to know who I am in you, and I want to know who you are in me, and I want to know what all this is about. I want to know the plan. I want to know why you did it. I'm just asking you everything. And you know what? I asked him everything. Sometimes I find out stuff. Sometimes I don't. But I don't mean I'm not asking, because if I asked, it'll be given. He didn't just say it'll be given. He said asked. If I knock, it'll be open. He just said it'll be open. Seek and you'll find. Not just you'll find. We got to seek. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, not half-heartedly or yawningly when we pray. He wants us to pray, seek his face, humble ourselves. What's that got to do with Shoeless Joe? Because none of this is the point of this message. We've taken that apart a little bit as we go. So we can learn some. Oh, here's one. And turn from their wicked ways. What was his people doing? What in the world were they doing? I don't know. Was they out drinking? And I don't know what they were doing. Were they hard? There's many things people are doing. He said, but don't you turn from your wicked ways. It must have been a lot of iniquity going on. Kind of reminds me of when Jesus said, they came before him and he said, many will stand before me. By the way, that's so scary. Many will stand before me. If many, if few, but few there be that find it. If few is a number no man can number, think how abundant many is. He said, they came before him and they said, but Lord, we've done these great works in your name. I'm a preacher. I've been preaching in your name. And in your name we've done, in your name we've cast out demons. Anybody here casting out demons? Get my hand out. One lady, I was preaching in a Methodist church one time. And the lady on the front, there was a Pentecostal lady came there. And I preached that message, and I said, does anybody here, these people that cast out demons. I said, anybody here cast out demons? Lady on the front row raised her hand right there on Sunday morning. You could hear crickets all over the church, buddy. At Methodist church, please don't do it now. And God gave me an answer. I said, these people had to. They'd cast out demons. They'd preached in his name, and in the name, in his name, done many wonderful works of faith. And he said, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity. When they counted what they did as anything, it was iniquity. Now, I wonder what these people had done, their wicked ways. You reckon they was just depending on, I don't know this, but I know us on this side of the cross, we like to depend on what we do. The Bible says, well, I love this scripture. I just hug it. Here is the work of God, that you believe on the one he sent. And that is work. Because right after, if I've done great deeds, I don't really ever depend on that. I don't. I mean, if I've done, I preached good and it turned out good and people like it, if I preached bad, you know, it's just, I just preached. I don't ever say, well, I preached and, you know, I did, I count that as something. I don't. I just believe on the one he sent and that's the work of God and that's the way it is. But when I do something wrong, when I sin, I have a tendency to believe on that instead of the one, the work of God, on the one he sent. Boy, I'll major on my bad deeds. See, it ain't your good deeds that get you to heaven, and it ain't your bad deeds that send you to hell. One deed gets you to heaven, and he did it on the cross. We didn't do nothing. We didn't do nothing but came when he called and repented when he convicted. It all starts with him. I walk the walk. Well, it's just by grace you saved, lest you get to boasting about it through faith. So whatever they were doing, it might not have been really, really bad things. They might have not just been, maybe they weren't as humble as they wanted to be and they was counting on their good works, the things they did, the sacrificing, whatever. Whatever it was wicked. He wanted them to turn from it. Turn from your wicked ways. He wanted you to pray. I see this on Facebook all the time. Because the country's in trouble. People know that. The land is in big trouble. So, and he says, if he'll do that, then they'll hear from heaven. The point is this, he wants you to hear from heaven. Okay? The whole point. See, this other, that ain't the point of my message. And he'll forgive their sin. Ain't that wonderful? He already has for us on the cross. We depend on that. And if you do that, if you do all these things, forgive their sins, so I will heal their land. If you do these, do this, so he will heal the land. You get to say that word right now. Say it ain't so, Joe. Let's do it one more time. Say it ain't so, Joe, because it ain't so. It's and. All the people are praying this in our land right now, but they're getting all this out of it. I'm going to pray by myself so I can get the land healed. It ain't so. Say it ain't so. It's and. And he sees that. The point ain't to get the land healed. The point is to get your heart right. The point is for you to pray. The point is for you to seek his face. The point is for you to be humble. That's what he wants. Oh, and by the way, P.S., if you do that, I'll heal the land. It's not do all this so I'll heal the land. Say it ain't so, Joe. It ain't so. It's and. There's some more scripture like that. I'll run over real fast. And I'm through. I just like to teach the Bible. I'm not an evangelist. You know, and sometimes I feel bad about that. I just do what God, I hope, leads me to do. And sometimes I feel bad that I'm not evangelist, you know. But I'm not. I'm just a Bible teacher, preacher. I don't know. You'll find the scripture. I see it all the time. This is what the whole point of this message is. I got to preaching this other stuff because it's good. You know what the Bible says in Luke 6:38? It says, give, and it'll be given unto you. You don't say give, so it ain't. Everybody say it. Say it ain't so, Joe. It ain't so. It's and. Give and it'll be given unto you. Not give so it'll be given. If you give to get, that's greed faith, not seed faith. Amen. Well, we got a lot of greed faith going on, man. We're going to give so we can get. I'm gonna plant a seed of 100 here so I can get back 1,000. I had somebody come up to me the other day and said, little preacher, I'm believing God for $200, I'm going to give you a gift of $20. I'm going to give you this so I can, you know what I told him? Thanks. And put it in my pocket. I was glad to get it. I didn't preach to him. I just took the 20. But I thought to myself, giving to get is greed faith, not seed faith. You just give. Are you going to get anything back or not? You don't even think about it. You just give. If your grandkids or your, it's I love got to be right. If your grandkids or your daughter or your son, they're in trouble and need some money and you got some money, you don't say, well, I'm going to give it to you, but God's going to give me a whole bunch back, and that's the reason I'm doing it. You give it to them because you love them, and they need it. And sometimes they bleed you dry and you have to stop. But you just give because you love. You give because he wants us to give, not so we can get. Say, it ain't so, Joe. It ain't. It's and. I'll tell you one more. Here's one I see all the time, too. I see this written on the, I see it all the time. Psalms 37, verse 4. Write it down. Delight yourself in the Lord, so he will give you the desires of your heart. It don't say that. Say, it ain't so, Joe. It's It ain't so. It's and. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But the whole thing is to delight yourself in the Lord. You know what delight, I want what my desire is? My desire is to delight myself in the Lord. And then there's a fringe benefit, but I don't even think about that. If it happens, then I've had some desires of my heart given to him, and I thank him for it, but I never count it to because I delighted myself in him. Just delight myself in him. Say, it ain't so, Joe. It ain't so. It's and. There's scriptures like that everywhere. People use it. We've been sold a bill of goods. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so all these things will be added unto you. No, sir, don't say so. And all these things. We automatically change it to the word so. But say it ain't so, Joe. Let me pray. God, it's not a salvation message. They don't look like a bunch of lost sinners out here. There might be somebody that needs to come to the Lord tonight that don't know him, that have he's tugging with their heart. I don't know. But the main message tonight is to not to the lost, but to the found. God, to let us know that God's looking in everything. He wants us to pray. He wants to seek us to seek his face for no other reason than to find in his face. He wants us to pray so we can have communication with him and just empty our hearts to him. If we just let him see us, everything into intimacy, into me see, then we'll have an intimate relation with God, and that's what he wants us to do. We'll just, not just a personal relationship with him, an intimate relationship. Pull myself up to his table, and it says, come, let us reason together, and I can present my case, and he can tell me where I'm wrong most of the time. Or sometimes he can say, you make a good point. He wants us to pray. He wants us to seek his face. He wants us to realize that we are a humble people, and we need him. God, we don't understand, but you're our very next heartbeat. You're our very next breath. When those are gone, you're all that's left. And he wants us to do that because we can know him better. And by the way, P.S. Enough Americans are doing that, he'll heal the land. Got to have the right motive. And that's to know the Lord, not get the land healed. I hope this has been helpful to some people to understand your ways and understand who you are and this mistake we can so easily make. God, I had to repent many times as I read this. My wicked ways are not going out doing horrible things and everything. My wicked ways are sometimes depending on my bad deeds. That I am not in your good graces anymore because I've done bad. I'm not believing on the one you sent. I'm believing on my bad deeds. You learn so much of this, and I wanted to share it with people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody say it one more time. Say, it ain't so, Joe. It ain't. It's ain't.